You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Dr. Deborah Stroman brings you stimulating sports and society discussions with some of the biggest influencing forces in sports and sports business. From athletes to owners, If You Only Knew covers all the bases with informative and engaging content from end zone to end zone.
Welcome to the show, Mr. Chi and Wugu. I'm always excited to talk to you. I'm so proud of all your work. Now being a sport business entrepreneur, graduate of UNC, and certainly, you know, you've been wonderful in your help with the Basketball Analytics Summit and just about anything that I ask you to please lend your advice and your expertise to. But welcome to the show, and let's talk about how it got started. Where'd you grow up and what sports did you play?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dr. Stroman. It's always great to be here and talk to you. So for me, it all began in the Bronx. And so I moved to New York when I was 5 years old from Nigeria. And that was really a huge culture change for me. I think one, coming to a place, being a concrete jungle of New York City, it was just a new environment for me. And so from a sports standpoint, I played pickup football, pickup basketball, just played games which other kids played as well. But my first sport, which I played in an organized manner, was actually baseball. I began playing baseball when I was 9 years old. I remember I came back from school one day and I saw a sign on a telephone pole saying Little League Baseball, ages 9 to 15, tryouts. In 2 weeks, right? I'm like, huh, what is this? Baseball, this is interesting. And being from the Bronx, I mean, the Yankees were the talk of the town. So I kind of knew what baseball was from the Yankees, but did not know the game in depth. And so for me, I played baseball to kind of make friends and feel a bit more socially connected to folks in the Bronx and not feel so isolated. I think baseball was my entry point into team sports and the power of the collective. And so since that point, it's been me being a huge fan of team sports and going from there.
Well, definitely that love for sports. And that's interesting. You picked it up because besides the need to work out and to sweat and to compete, did you have any favorite teachers or coaches that influenced you at a young age?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, I think when I first began playing baseball, obviously I had no background in the game. And my dad also being from Nigeria, I had no idea what baseball was, right? And so I remember our first time going to the park to play catch. It was a sight to behold, right? These two folks, a kid who's 9, an adult who's 40-something, throwing a ball back and forth, having no idea what's going on. And so my dad saw that he really couldn't help me in terms of my baseball career. So he reached out to our neighbor who was one of the baseball coaches in the Little League to kind of be my mentor and kind of help me navigate baseball and take me to game, take me to practice. And his name was Coach Ralph. And Coach Ralph really became my first true coach, my first true mentor, and someone who I think believed in me and told me, you know what, you can do it. You have the skills to do it. Just keep on practicing, right? And keep being consistent. And the skills which you have will eventually catch up to everyone else in terms of you feeling comfortable on the field. So he was huge to me. Unfortunately, he passed away from cancer a few years after I began playing baseball. May you rest in peace. And then in fifth grade, my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Bailey, was one of my biggest mentors because kids are tough, right? And kids are going to be mean and pick on you, especially if you're someone who is from a different country, like I was, someone who was, I got picked on for my name. I got picked on for being skinny, for having nappy hair, for smelling like fish, like all kinds of stuff, right? And so Mrs. Bailey had my back and it was always like, people might pick on you, but that's because you are special and different. And you should take this as a sign that people are insecure and you shouldn't take the insecurity and take that on yourself. I think that was a very powerful lesson, which for a kid in fifth grade was maybe a bit too much for me, but I think it helped put things in context going forward that I should not bear people's anger, people's resentment, people's feelings, right, and put them on myself. how someone treats me is a reflection of how they feel about themselves, not a reflection of how I am as a human being. So I think that mindset helped me a lot to just navigate people and knowing how to be kind to people while knowing that they might be mean to you back or might be rude to you, but I'm going to be kind to you because that's who I am, right? And I can't control how you treat me back.
That's wonderful. What a wonderful person, Ms. Bailey, and especially to your point at a young age to receive that. Mm-hmm. I know oftentimes I have to remember to hold up the mirror and then also turn the mirror around and say, this is not about you, Debbie. This is something else that's going on with that person.
Yeah.
A lot of projection. So great advice. So we're going to talk more about your company and what you're doing, but when did the seeds of entrepreneurship start? Did it happen later on in life or something, you know, when you were younger or who you model?
Yeah. I mean, I would say it was from when I was younger. I think one, my dad was always very entrepreneurial and he wasn't vocal about it, but I think I saw him doing things right. Like, for example, my dad bought a Lincoln Town Car and used that as a taxi and had someone drive the Lincoln Town Car around New York City, right, and make money from that. So my dad was always thinking about
with or without the license.
That's that. We'll keep that one off the record, but you know, New York, right? New York is it was a wild, wild west back then in the 1990s. But so I think seeing him was definitely helpful. I think too is also kind of based on necessity. I grew up with a family of seven kids. I have six siblings. And really my mom was the one who was a sole income earner. My dad's a pastor. And so being a pastor, it wasn't really a job about money. It's more about the impact, right? And less about the income. So for me, when I was in seventh grade, I was like, I need some cash, right? I'm walking around school with dusty sneakers, horrible clothes, like, I was being picked on a lot for my appearance. And so I got a job as a newspaper delivery boy in seventh grade, just to make some extra cash. And it was strictly a job based on tips. And so based on how my clients or my customers viewed me was how I got paid out. Mm-hmm. So I quickly learned that if I kept my customers happy and was consistent and reliable, that meant bigger tips for me. I think that core principle of you make your customer happy, you stay consistent, you give them something which they value, and then you'll get money back. I think that principle of, that principle is so fundamental to entrepreneurship. And so for me, I learned that early on, took that to high school. I went to boarding school. So I went to a very elite high school called Choate. And so once again, in the place where I am the poor kid, I'm different, I'm looked down on. My freshman year, I did not have a personal computer. Everyone else had one, a laptop, a PC, but I did not have one. So I would go to a library and type at the library, right? Mm-hmm. It got so bad that one of my classmates saw me and was like, you know what, Chi, here's my old computer from home. You can take it, use it, right? And I actually used that computer all of my 4 years in college, in high school. So for me in high school, I did jobs like being a barber. I would cut hair. I would do things in college, like working five jobs just to pay tuition. So I think I've always been very resourceful, but I think in my older age, well, as I've gotten older, I found that there's ways to build something and also build a team with that. So for me now, it's more about how can I build a team of people to accomplish a goal and to make sure this team is connected, this team is inspired, and then we can kind of create great things together. So it's less about me now and me making money. It's more about how can I build a team to create value. Mm-hmm. It's the evolution of my journey. I think it's something which has taken time, but I think once again, the team sports, playing baseball, basketball, football, seeing how powerful team sports can be, plus seeing that you have to give your customer what they want and really need. I think that's what's got me here today.
Well, that is certainly some very, very fundamental keys to success.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a preacher's kid.
Yes, I am.
I won't say anything about that because there are some stereotypes that go along with that.
Yeah, there sure are. There sure are. But I mean, it was lots of discipline in my house. But it's a whole different conversation right there, Dr. Strowman.
Absolutely. And then, of course, we share the UNC experience. You know, we're both here. Love the Chapel Hill Triangle area. Is there anything in particular that's special in your heart?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, when I first came to Chapel Hill, when I met you, Dr. Strowman, back in, I believe it was 2014, For the basketball analytics, I met that first year. When I came on campus, I was very much taken aback by the beauty of the campus, the beauty of the sky. Just it felt very peaceful, right? And so for me, being from New York City, where things are always loud, there's always sirens going off, I enjoy being on my bike and biking from my apartment to my office space, right? Or biking from my apartment to Trader Joe's to pick up some stuff real quick, right? So it's the ease of life, which for me has made being an entrepreneur easier. I don't have, yes, the stress, but it's also for me lots of positive things, right? The simple sunrise to me is beautiful. Hearing the birds chirp outside is beautiful to me. So for me, I found lots of peace being here in Chapel Hill, which has helped me navigate this chapter of my life.
Well, that's a good transition point for us. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.
You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Here's Dr. Deborah Stroman.
You're back. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and I have one of my all-time favorite people joining in, sharing his story, Mr. Chi Nwugu. Let's talk about you as an entrepreneur and about this amazing company, Gameflow, and your game, Pickup. Share its birth story and what's going on with the company now.
Yeah, so Gameflow is really a continuation of my work in sports and also my work mentoring young people. And I think what I found was that when I spoke to young people about my job in sports, there was an instant connection because I spoke to them from a shared passion point, right? And so if I talk to a kid about the NBA or about LeBron James, Steph Curry, or about Candace Parker or Maya Moore, right? There was a way in which we connected, and from that point, we can take the conversation to different things and make it take shape to fit what was going on. So for me, I think sports has always been an instrument we can use to inspire and engage people. So that's number one. Number two, I think games are the same exact way. I mean, I think we've played, games are as old as we are as human beings. I think games naturally help us to learn. That's just the nature of a game, right? You have to learn certain rules. You have to learn how to win. You have to learn how to use the objects in the game. There's lots of really passive learning involved in games. And so Gameflow is just us saying, okay, let's take a passion point people have, being sports, being basketball, and combine that with a game, which is a natural way to learn, and then really use that in different ways. And so one way is to help middle school kids learn math skills, learn how to quickly understand probability. So our game, Pickup, is a game which is a combination of strategy and chance. It's a basketball-themed card game in which you play on 3-on-3 court, and essentially you're trying to score the most points or knock your opponent off the court. And so a game involves lots of decision-making around who do you shoot with? How do you calculate how many points you score that round, right? So those are small things, which if you do them over and over again, and you do them in a way in which you're enjoying doing the exercise, you will naturally get better at those skills. And so we found that something which worked. We did tons of play testing between 2018 and 2020 with kids in middle school, adults, young kids, and just found that that engagement was there, right? And my favorite story is when I was working at this camp in 2019 with middle school kids at NCCU, North Carolina Central University. And there were a bunch of kids there, right? Mix of boys and girls. And we gave them our game, Pickup, to play in its early form. So there was no beautiful art. It was just really NBA and WNBA players with stickers on a card to connotate the points. But I gave the game to the kids to kind of understand and learn the game. I said, you know what? Let me take the game away and see if they will request to play the game in their free time. So between being on their phone, between playing football, talking to their friends, all the different things which might happen, will they say, hey, Mr. Chi, I want to play a game which you showed us last week or 2 days ago. And I think that sample of seeing a kid say, okay, let's play a game during breakfast. Oh, it's lunchtime. Let's play a game during lunchtime. And seeing, okay, there's a big crowd of kids around watching a game being played right now. And kids who used to be shy or being more involved. Kids who were maybe saying, oh, I don't enjoy a Mac game, right? We're talking about the distribution curve of rolling two dice and the fact that it's tough to roll a 2 or 12, but to roll a 7, that's not that hard, right? And so it's more about trying to meet people where they're at and say, okay, you have this passion point. Let's use this passion point of basketball to help you grow and learn. So it's been great. And I think for us, it's more about how do we make the game cool for kids? Because kids are not dumb, right? And they don't want to play a math game. And so we just found that anytime we mentioned the word math, there was a bit of a, I don't know, it's not for me, right? But when we say, here's a really amazing basketball card game, it's like Pokemon, it's in Slam Magazine, and we work with Red Bull, right? We mentioned all these cultural brands, which we're working with, boom, off the bat. Because you know what, this is cool, let me try it out, right? To see a character, they play it, and before we know it, the kids are engrossed in the game, which is something which I think they really need at this point in life, right? Where there's not that much face-to-face interaction anymore. There's not that much critical thinking. Our game gives them all of that. And so I'm really proud of what we've produced. And I'm proud that we have some great folks who are going to help us spread the game in spots like South Africa, spots like Zimbabwe, and make this really a global game.
Well, as you know, I'm a big supporter of what you're doing. And I've certainly learned the importance of math. I was okay at math, but I certainly wasn't a whiz. But now being an adult, we realize the importance of understanding math. Mm-hmm. And it starts with, at a young age, learning your math tables. And if you can present it to young people in a way that almost learning is fun, you don't even realize you're learning. Yes. So I certainly applaud you and your team and what you're doing for young people. Now, tell people, our listening audience, how do you find out about Pickup? How do you get a copy? How do you get engaged? How do you get your child signed up?
For sure. So you can go to our website, GameFlow, GameFlow.io. That's our website. You can go there. You'll see the game. You'll see things about our work in the community. You can read about our team. So really, it's a great website. You can also go to Slam. So Slam is a huge name in basketball and culture. The game is also on their platform. So if you just Google Slam Goods and Pickup, you'll find the game right there. Go check it out. The game has 42 amazing characters, which are all very diverse. For us, the story is that all these folks, right, love basketball, love playing pickup basketball in their free time. And there's a tournament which has been called. And so people are trying to play a tournament, but the tournament is only for those who have the most heart. And so we have 42 players who have lots of heart from around the basketball world, from spots like Jamaica and New York and France. And it's half men, half women, and they all have a backstory. They all have a full-time job. They have favorite foods, favorite things. But the point is that you can love basketball but still have a career, right? And still do things beyond playing basketball. So for kids who are in middle school, high school, who many times have hoop dreams, like I know we both did, right, growing up, it's good to know that there are folks who still live in their passion for basketball and don't have to be basketball players, right? And so we're trying to show kids that as well in subtle ways. And so our website has all the player bios and things like that. So it's really we're building something beyond just the game here. I think I'm really proud of that.
Well, that is awesome. And in fact, with your mentioning places all around the world, you're teaching geography as well. Mm-hmm, and oftentimes exactly. For young people, they can only see their community. They can only see their state or their favorite sport team.
Yeah.
But to be able to put it all together and use a world map. I mean, there's just so many wonderful things you can do with this game. So let's take a break here and we'll be right back. If you only knew, with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.
You're listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill. Here's Dr. Deborah Stroman.
You're back. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and I'm talking to the co-founder of GameFlow. And this gentleman, Chi Nwugu, has an amazing basketball game and is helping young people learn math, but also communication, also decision-making, also geography. So Chi, this pandemic has certainly changed our lives. And I love hearing you talk about how you are able to use this digital online world to help develop your game even further with feedback. But what have you found yourself doing more or less of during this, with this new normal?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I found myself for sure trying to figure out ways to find my own peace. I think the pandemic forced us all to be in isolation, and we were cut off from things which in the past brought us joy. Like, for example, me, I love playing basketball. During quarantine, I could not go out there and play pickup basketball, right? And so I had to find ways to still find my peace and find my joy without the things which I had been so used to pulling joy and peace from in the past. And so, for example, I now do yoga. I think yoga is something which can be as long as me spending an hour, right, doing different poses, but it's also me saying, you know what, I'm in my seat here, I'm going to take five deep breaths and five deep exhales, right, and work on my breathing and just really center myself in this moment. And I think small things like that have helped me to, like I said, find peace in ways in which I could not find peace before. So it's definitely a blessing in disguise having to cope. I hope people have definitely found ways to do that through the pandemic.
So when you talk about joy, which I certainly believe in, joy and justice. Mm-hmm. So which athletes or coaches do you greatly admire? Who brings you joy in the basketball space?
Yeah, so my favorite player right now is my Nigerian, my Nigerian countryman, Giannis. Giannis to me is one of the best leaders out there. He leads by example. His teammates love him. He's great in the community. He's obviously a champion. So for me, he's someone who I greatly admire. His basketball game is a game which people have told me that if I were his height and had his skill level, I'll have the same exact game. I played hard all the time. I love defense. I love moving the ball. I love playing bully ball down low and trying to use a mismatch. So I love Giannis and also love his teammate, Drew Holiday. And speaking of pandemic, in 2020, Drew Holiday, he pledged $5.3 million. He pledged, I believe, was about one-fourth of his salary that season towards the creation of a social justice fund, which him and his wife now co-own. And so last year, he gave out $1 million to Black and Brown-owned businesses. And he's doing the same thing again this year, $1 million again to Black and Brown-owned businesses. So seeing people like him put their money, put his money where his mouth is, right? And really take a step to say, I have all this money, all this influence. Let me use it to help people who are trying to start their company, who are trying to get going like me. I think it speaks to really who he is as a human being. I respect that so much. So now I just wish more athletes did that, because let's be real, you don't need that much money. No one does, right? So find ways to put it back into the community, like LeBron James has done with the school, right? And if you want to do that in a big way, in a big splash, then great, we'll do that in maybe small increments per year, do that too, but at least do something in which you are giving back each year. I think Drew Holiday definitely has done that in a huge, huge way this past two seasons.
Thank you for sharing that. That's really, and I'm sure a lot of people do know about it, but more people need to know about it. Yeah. But that is so important to plant those seeds and think about that, the ways that you can make a difference in our community, in our society. So that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So Chi, when it's all over and you're sitting in your favorite rocking chair, watching your favorite sports team, if you reflect back on your career, what do you want people to remember you for?
That's a great question. I think for me, I want folks to know that I led with love and respect, and that's probably my life mantra, right? I think we all can be leaders. I think we're all leaders in different ways, right? It's all scenario based. And so I think when you are called to be a leader, do that with love for people and trying to meet people where they're at and trying to Just really be someone who is compassionate and kind, right? And also respect, knowing that even though things might not go your way, that's not bad, right? And I think for me, I've learned that many times, what I think sometimes isn't how things should go, and having my team give me feedback and help me navigate and talk through things and having that open mind, that's being a leader, right? And not being so closed-minded. So I think for me, I want to be known as someone who was a leader, who took chances, who always had the greater good in mind, but I did that with love and respect.
Well, well stated. And certainly I am one who's observed and felt your love and respect. So thank you for being with me today. Thank you for sharing your story and making a difference for young people. We've been talking to Mr. Chi and Wugu. Please check out GameFlow. Check out the actual game pickup. And we'll see you next time. You're listening to If You Only Knew with Dr. Debbie Stroman on 97.9 The Hill.
You've been listening to If You Only Knew on 97.9 The Hill with Dr. Deborah Stroman. You can listen to all episodes at chapelborough.com/ If You Only Knew.